Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
Right, alright. It is time for the Tech Take Card. We have the honor and privilege of Dave Greenway being in the building.
What up?
What's happening? Usually you're on Skype.
Yeah, usually I'm on, you know, normally I'm on Skype with Kat shouting like how much better Alessandro's connection is than mine. So just because she's away, I decided to come in and give you the best connection.
Very, very nice. And you've got this motorbike game strong. You have all the gear. You've got the motorbike boots. You've got the, they look like borderline leather pants, are they? No.
So they're denim with Kevlar woven into them.
Ah.
And then they've got knee pads and pads on your hips so that
like
if you fall like
a boss.
And then, yeah, leather jacket, helmet, leather gloves.
Let me see the helmet. The helmet is, it's pretty swaggy.
So wait. There's one thing. I could never just buy a regular helmet. So on the helmet, there are two little LEDs at the back.
Yeah.
And they light up.
Ah!
And they, like, blink at night. And
hang
two
on.
Ones on the front.
I want to put your light up LEDs on Snapchat so that everybody can see it. Hang on a second. Okay. I'm going to count you down and then you're going to say, check at my LED light up snap head thing. All right. And in 3, 2, 1.
Check out my Shark Squall LED light-up helmet for my motorbike.
There, that's fantastic. It is up on the Snapchat. Let me just download, and then you save, and then you share, and then you go. There we go. So now everybody can see your awesome LED light-up amazing helmet.
Yeah.
All right. Does this mean you take less Ubers now that you got this motorbike?
Yes, I do. Much less Ubers. If I'm deciding to have any alcohol whatsoever, definitely Uber.
Yeah.
And then depending on the weather, so if it rains, Uber.
Now, speaking of Uber...
Smooth.
Let's talk about Uber's first self-driving fleet of cars for passengers. It arrived in Pittsburgh earlier this month. My dad was so excited to tell me all about this. But there's still a driver there, but they're not driving the car.
Yeah, so there's the problem with the law at the moment is that you can't just have self-driving cars driving around with no supervision whatsoever. So there still has to be a person inside in case things start going pear that can take over and quickly rectify the situation. So there will still be an Uber driver inside the car. The driver won't actually be driving it 99% of the time.
He's just like got his hand half on the steering wheel.
Yeah, he's just got like, he's around.
Just in case.
Like, yeah, he's got like lightning fast, like, you know, reflexes just to be able to catch the wheel. But that's basically, look, it's really cool. I suppose there's a lot of people now who are, you know, potentially going to be out of jobs in the next 5 years if you think of all the Uber drivers. But I think it's much cooler. Like, the truth of the matter is, that you really don't need. We could replace so much with just a fleet of autonomous Ubers. Like, if you think of your drive to work every morning, how many people are using a car just for themselves? There's only one person in that car.
Mm.
And you park it at home, you drive to work, it sits there for 8.5 hours while you're at work, and then you drive home and it sits there overnight.
It's such a game changer, this.
Yeah.
It's so like a total game changer.
Fractional ownership or like part-time ownership of things is becoming a reality. So, you know,
like Airbnb's that.
Airbnb,
yeah.
Exactly. So I'm going overseas in October and I've decided, you know, why should I go to a hotel when I can just rent a place?
Mm.
So looking on Airbnb and...
And you might Airbnb your place out, yeah.
I might, but my roommate might have an issue with like strange people in my bedroom.
But you could.
I could. It's a very nice place. I just have a thing about other people sleeping in my bed.
It's amazing, this. I was quite surprised to see Uber do it because I know that, you know, I mean, it's a very consumer-driven service that. And
yeah.
It's quite a big statement, actually, for Uber to endorse self-driving vehicles in such a big way as this, you know, commercial taxi company.
Yeah. So they've been saying it for ages that that's their eventual goal is to have self-driving cars. The big thing is that they're the first to commercially offer this. Google's had self-driving cars for years, but they haven't offered it to anyone. It's all been testing. Tesla as well with their autopilot features in their cars are trialing, features that would be used in an autonomous driving vehicle, but aren't there yet. And if you read, Elon Musk's big plan, his, direction, the way forward for the company now that they've reached their last major milestone was, making the Model 3 available for pre-order. Now they've got a new plan for going forward and he wants to start doing things like, autonomous goods transport. So massive trucks driving around and doing goods transport without a driver at the wheel, which, you know, means you don't have to have people stopping for breaks because cars don't really get tired as like humans do. And, things like public transport where we in South Africa, we experience a lot of, you know, tragedy over the Easter and Christmas periods where people are going long distances and you've got vehicles that aren't roadworthy or drivers that get tired. And we see massive loss of life because there's, you know, these cars driving down long distances and people are dying because they get into accidents. And things like that, autonomous driving can fix a lot of that. So, you know, you have scheduled stops. The thing doesn't get tired. It's the same as putting a plane on autopilot and letting it fly. You know, there still can be a human around to assist it. But autonomous driving is just really cool. I basically want to be able to, you know, order a pod in the morning, get into it. It can be tiny, like a quarter of the size of a car, because it only needs to accommodate me. It can drive at extremely high speeds because there's no drivers around. It's all controlled by computers, which can think and react much faster. So you can have this thing traveling at like 250 k's an hour through the streets in the morning while I listen to Cliff Central without ever having to touch a single thing. And you won't, you know, like, and that's where the fight comes in. The reason that all of these people want to be the first to make an autonomous car is because when you're no longer driving, you've got to be doing something in the car. So that's the next screen they're going to be selling you stuff on, because you don't want to be staring at your phone necessarily. There could be, instead of having windows, you could have a giant screen in front of you. And then who's selling you advertising on that? Who's giving you information on that? Who's selling your movies and your entertainment through that? And that's sort of the next screen that I think people are targeting after phones.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Excited for it. I mean,
it's fucking awesome.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want to go down to Durban or something and you get into this pod.
And you just go.
And because it's going at like 300 k's an hour, instead of having a 6 hour trip, you've got a 2 hour it's trip like down flying. To Durban. Exactly. So it's like flying, but no wait at the airport.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. It's going to, it's game changing. Game changing.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed to have this in my lifetime. Okay. Let's shift gears. Apple, this watch number 2, not gonna do what it needs to do, right?
Yeah. Okay. So we've been saying never gonna buy Apple Watch 1.
I honestly, the second you get one, I'll get one. That's honestly how I decided.
Is that how you've locked it in?
Yeah. When you get one, if you get the third or the fourth or the seventh, whatever, that's the one I'll get.
I feel like there's a lot of weight on my shoulders now, but.
No, I know that you'll make the right decision as to when Apple are not screwing me over with this thing.
So here's the thing, right? Apple Watch 2 is coming. It has to happen. It's one of those things that we understand will happen probably at the September event coming up. As far as we understand from the supply chain, the shape isn't going to change. So it's going to look the same way an Apple Watch 1 does. So I'm not sure how you're going to show off to your friends that you've got the new one, but you'll just have to deal with it. It's the same as getting a 6S and everyone else has the 6 and you have to sort of figure out how to tell people that you're fancy.
Yeah.
Exactly. You should always be on the whole release. You want to get the 6, the 7, the 8, because then you can show people that you're awesome. Anyway, so Apple Watch 2, apparently it will have built-in GPS, which helps all of the fitness tracking and things like that, which was a big complaint of people because it needed to use the iPhone's GPS to do, you know, if you wanted to go for a run, you had to take your iPhone with you. It could play music off of the Apple Watch via Bluetooth to your headphones after an update sort of midway through its life, but you weren't able to track GPS, which is a problem because that's what most people want to do, is they want to see how far they were running and get all those lovely achievements and things.
Nike stuff for Instagram, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. You've got to get that little, you know, square shot of the map and everything. But so that's coming. But what they tried to do as well was fit in a regular cellular connection into it. So cellular radios and things like that, so that you could literally leave your phone at home and your Apple Watch would be able to do everything. It would be able to connect to the internet. It would be able to download, you know, it would be able to synchronize with your phone. So if you got a WhatsApp, you could see the WhatsApp on your watch, even if you didn't have an internet connection around. So you weren't in Wi-Fi, your phone wasn't nearby, but your watch could still function as if it were free of the phone. That's not going to happen, apparently. So all of the rumor that we're seeing is that they weren't able to squish everything in time. So the Apple Watch 2 will have all of the additional GPS, and because of the shrinking of all the components, it should have more battery, which would mean more battery life. So it should be a better watch overall, but I still think because there are going to be features that are going to require you to carry your iPhone with it, that you should probably now wait for Gen 3. So we were hoping Generation 2 would be the one. I think Generation 3 might be the best one to get. It might be where they sort of set into a proper solid watch that everyone will be like comfortable using, and there'll be much less complaints about. very similar to the iPhone. The 3G, so it went the iPhone, the 3G, and then the 3GS was sort of the first one where it started having really good features, and then the 4 just nailed it. And the 4 was that iPhone that everyone wanted. It was perfect. It had amazing industrial design. The software was fantastic. The hardware had finally caught up with what they were doing. And this is where Apple Watch is. It's a great concept. It's got a lot of things going for it, but I don't think that the hardware is quite caught up and the industrial design is quite caught up to exactly where it needs to be that fantastic all-round product. iPad was lucky. iPad pretty much nailed it. Straight from the get-go, it was the perfect tablet, and we've just made it better and better, but there wasn't like a need to get any better than iPad 1 really in terms of functionality. Phones, we had to wait a while. We had to wait for processors to get fast enough, displays to get crisp enough that it didn't, you know, like it didn't look blocky to your eyes. And that's where we are. We're in this golden age where, you know, you can get any smartphone from mid-range up from pretty much any manufacturer and it'll be fantastic. You know, a friend of mine, his phone broke and he had to use a BlackBerry for 2 days. And he's like, it's ridiculous to see how far we've come from, you know, 4 years ago using his BlackBerry to now. He can't actually cope with it because it doesn't do the things that he needs it to do day to day. And this is where we are. So Apple Watch 2, I'm going to have to play with it and see if the lack of cellular radio is going to be that big of a deal. I suspect that it's gonna create problems because I think developers want to detach everything from the phone. They want it to become two separate things, that the watch is the watch and the phone is the phone, and they can talk to each other, but they don't need to be in proximity, so that they can talk to each other over Bluetooth if they're in proximity or over an internet connection if they're not. And I think that's sort of where we're going. And I think Apple Watch 3 will be the big one, but who knows? They might prove me wrong. We've got like 3 weeks to wait, but and then we'll see it.
You're usually pretty spot on with this stuff.
Let's see. 3 weeks. Not long. Okay. Where's Kat asking when the new iPhone is?
Yeah. 3 weeks, Kat. 3 weeks. Okay. Let's shift gears, wrap it up with this. Nougat is out, but probably not for you.
Yeah. So Android Nougat, which is the latest version of Android. It's version 7.0. It rolled out to select Nexus devices. So those are the ones that are made in conjunction with Google by various manufacturers. So Huawei and LG have the current two, the 6P and the Nexus 5X. Hopefully we'll see some new ones there soon. But basically you can get the latest version of Android if you own one of those phones. If you own any other phones, so if you own a Galaxy S7 or an S7 Edge, which is only like 6 months old, you're still going to be on Android 6. You're going to have to wait until Samsung releases an update, which can be anything from 3 months, 6 months, 12, 18, depending on what phone you have, who your manufacturer is, and if they even give a crap. So Android Nougat, some awesome stuff in there, more battery saving, better design in terms of notifications and the settings menu and a couple of other rad things. I've been playing with it for quite a while, the beta. I really enjoy it. It's like a really good feeling operating system. It's sort of, it has all of the features that I think were missing from stock Android that a lot of manufacturers were putting in there to sort of make Android feel nicer, which means that there'll be less bloat, hopefully, from the manufacturers, which means that phones actually go faster because of their chips not having to worry about other stuff. So hopefully Android Nougat, you'll see it on all the flagship phones. So anything launching from, I think the LG V20 is going to be the first phone that has it. That's going to launch in September. It's already confirmed, so that'll start on like going on sale in September. And then any major phone from any major manufacturer going forward from there should have Android Nougat, or at least tell you what date it's available from. So look out for it. If you can get it, get it.
Yeah, because it is cool.
Yeah, dude, updating your software, it's always a good idea. It is a good idea. Just do it. It's
fantastic.
Better.
Fantastic. Any other tech news to be aware of? Let me double check if anything's broken in the past few minutes on Twitter.
So FNB launched two phones today.
Oh yeah, I saw something about this.
If you give me half a second. Okay, so FNB's launched. So FNB had FNB Connect, which was their over-the-top net. So basically they were using Celsius network. Yeah, so they were using, every time you bought a smart device through them, they gave you a SIM card, which gave you a certain amount of data and was on Celsius network. Not that I've ever plugged one of those SIM cards in from, you know, my Xbox, which I bought through FNB. I didn't really use that SIM card for anything because I don't have anything other than my phone to use it on. Anyway, they have a 400 Rand unlimited calling option on one of the networks, and they've got two ZTE manufactured phones. So ZTE is a Chinese manufacturer that white labels their phones. So the phone will have FNB all over it. It's got the FNB banking app pre-installed, and they're called the Kone XIS. I don't even know how to pronounce that, but Kinexis, I'm assuming. And it's the X1 and the A1. The X1 is the slightly better one, as far as I'm aware. The X1 is the better one. So it's got a gig of RAM, a quad core processor, runs Android 6. So Marshmallow has LTE and an HD display, not full HD, but still HD. And the A1 is slightly less specced out. But they do come with power banks, and they cost very little. I think it's 150 rand a month for the X1 and 60 rand a month for the A1. And then you can bolt on data and call packages on top of that.
That's
so
not bad at all.
Banks are looking for more ways to make money. People are...
I don't know why.
You know what the scary thing is? People are more likely to pay their phones than they are to pay things like, you know, car repayments and other, like... If you have a car, but you're not paying it, you can still go put petrol in it and use it. If you have a phone and you stop paying for it, then you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So people are really happy to pay for that.
Good analogy.
Yeah.
That there is all that is tech news. Dave Greenway, leave me with, sorry, I got some Nougat in my mouth. Leave me with a final thought for the week ahead.
Autonomous driving cars are coming. What would you do if you had all of your time in a car driving back? Kelman on CliffCentral.com.